The next paragraph I want to talk about is expiration of the offer. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to read this to you because it's so important. This is where the buyer is saying to the seller, I'm writing you this offer, but the offer shall be deemed revoked and my deposit returned unless the seller signs this and a copy of the signed offer is personally delivered back to the buyer or blank by the third day after this offer is signed by the buyer. Or by, and there's a checkbox blank, meaning that if you don't want 3 days, you can check that box and put in how much time you need. This is a mistake that many, many agents make because we don't know when the offer is going to be presented. Think about it. I write the offer tonight, and I can't find the listing agent, and I finally find it and send the offer to that agent. They then can't find their seller, who may be traveling, may be out of town, might be sick, who knows what the problem is. So who knows how long it's going to take for him to present that offer or her to present that offer. So to say that this offer is revoked and goes away within 3 days, that's a real problem because that may not be enough time. So it's probably important for you as a buyer's agent to call a listing agent and say, if I present an offer, how much time does your seller need? Like I have a client right now that's in North Carolina and he travels. And so I can't just send it to his house. I can send it to his email and he may or may not have access to a business center in the hotel where he's staying. So it's really important to understand how much time is needed, and you have to think about that when you write this contract. The next issue I want to talk about, that if you remember, it said personally received by the buyer or by blank. That means if you don't do anything and use the default language of the contract, that means that the offer isn't accepted until somebody hands it back to the buyer. What if the buyer's not available? That becomes a problem. And that's why they have that blank line that says, or by blank. Now, what typically is written in there is the buyer's agent. And that becomes a problem too. What if the buyer's agent isn't available? Or how are you going to transmit this back to the buyer? Because the contract says that it can be delivered in person, it can be delivered by email or by fax. So you can see the problem might be raised if you have said we're going to deliver to the agent and you fax it to them and it goes to their office and they're an agent that works out of their home and they don't come in for 3 or 4 days because the contract says personally received by. So you got to be clear in what this means. You need to find out from the agent how are they going to accept it and what method do they want for delivery back to them. I've seen all kinds of problems with this because, again, if it doesn't fall under the strict rules of this paragraph, somebody can come in behind you, present an offer, and knock you out. So what happens if you go past this date? The contract says that the contract is revoked, meaning it doesn't exist anymore. I've heard arguments both ways on this, but I think one of the ways that it can be resolved in a counteroffer. So sometimes the person does come back and say, yes, I want the house. Now what? Are you going to make them completely rewrite a new contract? I think one of the things that could be done on a counteroffer is to say that the buyer, if the buyer is the one that skipped the date or the seller on a counteroffer skipped the date, that they hereby waive the revocation of the contract and agree to extend it X number of days. In other words, it's like putting it back in place again. I think that works. You can check with your attorney and see if they agree with me. Now, obviously, the next thing that has to be done on a contract after expiration of the offer is the buyer has to sign it. Let's put the date on there. That's really important because sometimes it matters during legal issues, especially and if somebody's trying to claim they have the house or don't have the house. When did this thing get signed? Now, there isn't a place to put time on there, but I typically advise clients to do that, to put time and date. And then the buyer signs, and both buyers signs. And also remember, we want them to sign with their legal name because it also provides a place to print their name as well as sign it. Now, the next thing that happens is acceptance, because obviously now we have an offer, don't we? And it's going to the other side, and now it's up to the seller to decide, do they want to do anything with this property? The first thing it says in there that it warrants that they're the owner, which of course should have been handled obviously by the listing agent when they listed the property. And it says they also have the authority to execute this agreement. We talked about that a little bit as well in the past. It says the seller accepts the above offer and agrees to sell the property on the terms and conditions of this offer, which means the seller is saying, I'm agreeing to this. Now, if they don't agree to it, what do they want to do? There's a box there that you have to check that says, subject to the attached counteroffer, which means the seller is saying, I'm accepting your offer, I'm accepting the terms and conditions, except for those that are on the counteroffer. So one of the questions that always comes up, does the seller sign the offer? The answer is yes, they do. They sign this offer, and then they check the box that says subject to the attached counteroffer, and then they write the terms that they're not accepting on the counteroffer. Now, on the counteroffer, you also have an expiration of offer paragraph. We talked about that earlier. It means that the counteroffer is only good for X number of days. So be sure and pay attention to that, because I've seen agents that are really actively working this deal. Buyers and sellers want to do the deal, but they let the counteroffer expire and had to start over. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So the next thing that happens, let's assume that the contract got signed. What do we do now? There is a place for confirmation of acceptance. Remember up in paragraph 29, we talked about that something was personally delivered. It isn't necessary from a legal point of view because it's below the signatures, but it's probably a pretty good practice because it says a copy of the signed acceptance was personally delivered and received by the buyer on this date. The problem I have with that paragraph is there's no place for the buyer or the person accepting it to acknowledge that they received it, although it's simply a place to fill it in, so I'm not sure why it's there. In fact, it even says in the contract, completion of this confirmation is not legally required in order to create a binding agreement. And the reason for that is, up here it said all you had was to deliver it. It didn't say you had to sign anything.